Oh, I feel a big one coming on with a roll tide.
Roll on tide.
Vegas got it right, didn't it?
Yeah. Jason got it right.
Jason got it right.
I was able to jump on that early and take 4.5, and I started sweating when it went into overtime, though, because I could just see Alabama scoring a touchdown and Georgia not getting one.
Talk about some sweating going on at 13-0 at halftime.
Did you feel really bad when he got sacked right before he threw the final touchdown?
Oh, my goodness. I was not an optimist. I'll put it that way. I felt like, hey, this game is O-V-E-R.
You sent me a text during the game when Georgia scored.
I did.
Made them 20. This game is over. And I thought it was.
We had a very similar discussion in our living room about the beginning of the fourth quarter. I looked at Melissa. I said, I don't see them coming out of this. She just nodded her head. She's like,
I mean, all you can, you know, whether you're a fan, whether you're not a fan, you still have to be able to appreciate what they did with their back up against the wall. It's just taught, and it's just, I don't know if I shouldn't say bred into them, but I mean, it's like Saban says over and over, just play the next play.
I am so glad he read his Facebook feed during halftime, because, I mean, he did what every Facebook fan told him to do. He put the other quarterback in. So.
Yeah, and I was the brain surgeon arguing against that.
Yeah, were you?
Yes. That's why you're not in coaching.
Yeah. There was a lively discussion coming from a guy I know in Decatur, and man, it had so many comments, and about two, wanting to put the backup in. We got to change. We got to get Hurts out. And so I do my normal return, you know.
Well, of course.
It's funny how many people become better coaches than Nick Saban.
Isn't that the
truth?
In just
a matter of minutes.
Seconds sometimes.
And I told him, I said, don't you think he sees these guys every day and he's going to play the quarterback he feels gives them the best chance to win?
Couldn't.
And then they start the second half, and Hurts is on the bench, and Alabama comes out and looks like a different team.
Absolutely. You know, Jason, this is something that that I've heard from other people. Don't know if it's true or not, but, you know, you've heard the talk that Saban, that he basically knew at some point in time this was coming, but the longer he could put off, quote, playing Tua or putting him in for Hurts, the better off it is, because it doesn't create any – the way he did it in the national championship game does not create any controversy whatsoever between who's playing, who's not playing. It doesn't cause a division on the football team. Now, that's what I heard, that he kept waiting. And you probably heard this too, that the talk was that Tua was probably going to be in the Clemson game.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the way that game went, and, you know, Alabama dominating it defensively, he didn't have to play him. But if that was his plan, he is truly a magician, because it could not have worked out any more perfect if that was his plan. I'm not saying it was, but if it was, wow. I mean, that's masterful. But, and so, and Jason, let me ask you this, and I heard a lot of people, I've heard it on the radio, heard it on TV. Maybe I look at it differently. People are talking about, you know, what a bold move that was to put two in. You know, the guts that it took on Saban's part to put in a true freshman that hadn't started a game, hadn't played very much, and you put him in the second half of the national championship. Do you see it that same way?
Well, I see it. Saban may have been the only coach in the nation that was comfortable enough in his position to do that, but I looked at
it
like he didn't have any other choice at that time.
He didn't, and this is not against Jalen Hurts whatsoever. Look, Jalen Hurts has lost two games for them as a starting quarterback. He's won a national championship, and he came within 1 or 2 seconds of winning two national championships. This is not about, you know, this is not about Jalen Hurts. This is about, you know, the decision that Saban made. But I'm with you. I think you made a great point. Saban would be maybe if not the only one that could get away with that bold move, then he's one of a handful at best that could pull that off.
The way it turned out, if whoever does it is a hero, but what if that thing goes further south than what it was?
Exactly.
Then everybody started, well, if he left Hurts in, he would have probably kept on, and they would have started moving the ball, and then you're talking about people being on you.
That's right. So, But I just looked at it from the standpoint of watching the first half. They're down 13-0.
If you no offense.
Zero. 94 total yards offense, 21 yards passing offense. If you don't do something different right now, you may get blown out.
Yeah.
Now,
and I think Saban looked at it like, I don't have any other choice.
That's right.
I mean, how much worse is it going to get?
That's right.
And so,
you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, doesn't matter. They end up winning the national championship, but, you know, missed a throw there in the end zone, overthrew Calvin Ridley for a touchdown in the first half, and, you know, then kicked the field goal, but then there was a penalty, back him up five, and then he shanks it, you know, to the left.
They got a gift on the offside on a blocked punt. That helped them.
That's true.
Because the player was not, if anything, Alabama moved.
Alabama flinched.
Which would have been a dead ball, and they would have kicked
right.
Again.
Right. They've just backed him up five.
If they just didn't call anything, then Georgia's got the ball inside the 20 there. And
yeah.
I don't know. You're Alabama
right.
got some breaks second half. They made the plays they had to make.
Yeah. And if you're going to win a national championship,
oh, yeah,
you're going to get some breaks.
Yeah.
You know.
Another one, Alabama, I'm not saying this is why Alabama won.
No.
But another big break on third down. Alabama gets away with a face mask that would have given Georgia a first down. The biggest one
of all. And let me just mention, I know exactly the play you're talking about. I think it was Deron Payne had a kid by the face mask, and the official was behind it. By the time they turned where the official could see, he had him by the collar. So I could see how an official would miss that. He would have no vision whatsoever what had taken place.
I don't know how they missed the offside call, though.
Yeah, because I think that it may have been Ronnie Harrison or Thompson, one of the two, flinched.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. I don't know how the player
wasn't offside anyway. I mean,
no,
when
he
replayed it, he was not
right.
Offside.
He just timed it perfectly.
But the biggest break of the game or the play of the game, taking out the last play, the 41-yard, and it made – I can't pronounce his name.
Tua?
Tua. We'll just call him – what's his last name?
Don't ask me to pronounce.
Okay. Tua.
He's Tua.
That made him look a lot better than he really is really catching that pass in the end zone that wasn't thrown to Ridley. I think he was throwing the ball, and I've heard.
I don't know where he was throwing it.
To the back of the end zone, which was covered, and really come across.
Could be. Because, when you watch it three or four times, it's like. You're just speechless. You're sitting there looking at it. So Ridley was nowhere in the picture until he caught it.
I didn't know. I thought I might be the only one that thought that, but I was listening to Jots and all their guys saying the same thing. There's no way he's throwing
Harris,
that ball.
Najee Harris was the back that was in the end zone. Coming across. So I don't know who he was throwing it, but
it worked out.
It worked out. Look, it was a perfect pass right over the fingertips almost of a defender and right into Calvin Ridley's hand. Right. So it is what it is.
Let me make my predictions, Ronnie, and sit back and don't fall back.
Oh my gosh.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
Alabama wins another national championship, 5 out of 9, right?
5 out of the last 9.
Okay. Tua is now probably going to be the quarterback. Alabama has a passing game. This is a big if.
Sure.
If he is as advertised,
yeah.
And what we've seen the other night continues, I don't think I'm going out on a limb here when saying I don't know if Alabama loses again for 2 years.
My gosh,
I believe they win at least one of the next two, if not both, the next national championships. Alabama's fixing to have a team better than any team they've ever had.
You think so?
That was freshman in there the other night when he was playing.
Six of them. Six freshmen.
And so.
I mean, what do you say?
If Alabama has a passing game, it's not even going to be fair. It's going to be like the UConn women playing in the basketball.
You know, I hope you're right. I don't know, but look,
Because anybody beat Alabama, done it by shutting the running game
down.
That's
right. That's exactly right.
And Alabama had nothing to
force you to throw. And that's exactly what Georgia did. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, that's not rocket science. That doesn't take elite coaches. You can figure that out. That's middle school.
We could figure that out.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't throw it well, we're going to make you throw it. I mean, that's just the way it is. But, did Tua had a remarkable second half. Now, can he string that together, you know, every week as a season? Is he, granted, he's going to have good games and he's going to have bad games.
Yep.
So I think there has to be some level of semblance here where folks don't expect, you know, they scored 26 points in the second half. Please don't go expecting them to score 55, 60 points a game.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to play some quality football team.
Yeah, however, people will defense that differently when they know Alabama has a passing threat.
That's true. They're going to have to do something different, but I don't know what they do.
No.
I mean, I don't know how you defend it.
It's going to be yeah. It's going to be
you know, it
tough.
Was and listen, I love Jalen Hurts. You know, again, he's lost two football games. He holds a single season record for touchdowns. So you got to give the guy his credit and his due, and you also got to, you know, you got to pat him on the back for the way he handled being pulled in the national championship game. I mean, he is a quality,
right. Don't you think,
classy
so
kid.
You take the average SEC quarterback, put him where he is, and Alabama would probably be right there close anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe not 25-2, yeah. But they're not much difference.
I completely agree with you. Completely agree with you. You know, it was like, and again, this is, I don't mean this in a bad way. It's like when Jalen was in the ball game the first half, the offensive coordinator's name has left me. Dable. It's like his play sheet was one index card. And then when they put Tua in, they went to a 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper front and back. I mean, he immediately becomes a fantastic offensive coordinator when Tua comes in the game.
Oh, yeah.
Because everything they've been doing has changed.
Yep. All right, it's 4:15, time for a quick break, and we come back, we'll have Chris Andrews from Vegas.
That's
I wonder
right.
How Vegas made out on this game.
So. Me too, I was wondering the same thing.
I think they made a little money, but who knows?
Is there money to be made on Bama?
Well, you'd have made it betting on Georgia.
Okay.
Because you'd have got the points, and Alabama only won by three.
By three. Okay.
Sports Talk Live, we'll be right back. Stay with us. It's going to be interesting to see what Chris has to say. We'll be right back.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of silver sneakers and silver fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com. Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today, or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio.
Hey, guys, let's face it. We all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome.
Scissors Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
.418 back with you, Sports Talk Live on a Thursday, a warm, actually, Thursday afternoon.
And a wonderful Thursday afternoon.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
What do you mean?
All right, Chris Andrews joins us from the Big Easy, the Las Vegas, Nevada. Hey, Chris, welcome back.
I can already hear Ronnie's hat sizing expanding as we talk.
We had to let some air out of it before he could get in the door, Chris.
I believe it.
I'm trying not to be too obnoxious to Jason, I'll tell you.
It's a futile effort, Ronnie. Yeah, just give it up.
Hey, Greg, I got to tell you this before we get started. When Georgia scored and went up, hit 20 points, Ronnie sent me a text and had already given up the ghost. Yep. He told me this game is over. So
I did. I'll admit it.
Well, I would have thought so, too, to be honest with you. I thought we needed Georgia, and I thought we had that one in our pocket, I got to tell you.
Oh,
hey, that was one of my questions, so let me go ahead and ask. Yeah. Chris, how did the money end up being split on this game, and how did Vegas fare on this one?
Well, it's so funny, you know, everybody I talked to did something different. Some guys did real good. We didn't do so good. We have this one customer who's, you know, he comes in just on, like, the big events, and he bets us pretty big money. So he bet us, like, I think it was, like, $580,000 to win $300 on Alabama just winning the game, like, a money line.
Golly!
Yeah. No, this kid, he's, you know, he's got some guts.
This is what Social Security does for you,
pretty good. So we put him on national. I tell my bosses about it, and they said, "Well, let's so it wins 300." He says, "Well, let's try to book 200 of it out, and we'll keep 100 for ourselves." You know, so okay, that's cool. You know, so I needed Georgia to win the game for that 100 or so. You know, that's without the juice. And then, like, in the last hour or so, it was unbelievable. We had a flood of Georgia money taking the point spread. You know, so we were at 4.5. Then we go to 4. Then we go to 3.5. It was all Georgia, but they weren't betting the money line. They were just betting, taking the points. So it wound up, like, for us, like, right in the middle there, Bama by 1, 2, or 3 was terrible. You know? So, but I talked to other guys. They did great. You know, they had guys betting Georgia on the money line and Alabama laying the points. I mean, it was the exact opposite of some other places that I talked to. So it kind of just depended on where you fell on the spectrum. So, I'd say overall Vegas did, like, fair. We did bad. We got beat up pretty good. But other joints did well, and some were kind of in the middle. So it was like a very wide spectrum of, results. Just depends on who you talk to.
Yeah, you kind of got slapped twice on that one, didn't you?
We did. We got slapped hard, too, by the way.
All right. Hey, Chris, a new champion is crowned now, and I don't know. My opinion is that this game will go down as one of the best, if not the best, finals, even going back to the bowl games when
BCS.
You were ever lucky enough to, I'm going back even before that.
Okay, I got you.
To when you were lucky enough to get a number one and number two playing.
Yeah.
But how do you rate this game, Chris? How do you think it's going to be viewed, say, 10 years from now?
Well, I think it's definitely one of the classics. I mean, there's been some great ones. There's no doubt about it. But this one, just the drama of, first of all, how far Bama was down, and then bringing in the kid who, I mean, did he have a meaningful snap all year? I don't think he has.
No,
I mean,
no.
I don't follow it probably as closely as you guys, but it seems like whenever he did play, it was you know, kind of garbage time or something like that. And I'd heard how good he was. It's hard to tell from the glimpses I got of him. But, man, he really looked impressive. And I'd heard all year that, you know, probably if him and Hurts came in at the same time, you know, he probably would have won the job. But, you know, Hurts, what, 28-2 or whatever his record was, I mean, pretty hard to yank a guy like that, you know. And but the kid looked great. I mean, Saban made a very bold move. And there's been some great games, but this one will definitely be among them. I think this was had some of the biggest drama of all the games, you know, even though I don't think it was, like, exceptionally well played, but I think the drama was there that really that's the thing that everybody's going to remember in this one.
Right.
Yeah, Chris, you know, speaking about Tua there just for a moment, you know, Trent Dilfer, who does the, you know, Elite 11 with the, you know, the top 11 quarterbacks every year, does kind of a camp thing or whatever with them. He made the statement last year that Tua was the best quarterback he has ever seen since he's been doing those Elite 11. He wasn't the best just last year. He was the best of all of the Elite 11 camps. So, I mean, he came, when he got to Tuscaloosa, he you know, he kind of already had star written all over him by, you know, Dilfer, who, as we all know, played, you know, a good long while as quarterback in the NFL. So, a tremendous talent.
I think Dilfer does have a pretty good opinion, and for him to say that is pretty remarkable. Like I said, when Saban recruited him out of Hawaii, I know, like, Mariota went to Oregon, you know, but there's a lot of Hawaiian people on the West Coast, you know. I'm not sure how many Hawaiian people were in Alabama. I'm guessing probably not that many, you know. But for him to do that, I mean, I think obviously this kid really stuck out. And, well, evidently, you know, he stuck out when the money was down, that's for sure. I was jumping up and down when Georgia tackled him and for that sack, and we're looking at 2nd and 26. And I'm thinking, man, maybe we could hold them here for a couple of downs. You know, they miss a long field goal or don't even try one, and we could run away with Georgia by 3 and, you know, have a pretty nice day for our pocketbooks. But, you know, the next play, he throws that touchdown pass, and it was not a happy moment in my household, I can tell you.
Hey, Chris, let me ask you this. You know, when they came out the second half and everybody figured out that Tua was going to be in the ball game, you know, were you shocked? You know, a lot of people were. I guess I was surprised. I'm not saying I was shocked, but, you know, you're pulling a kid in Jalen who's 25-2 and won a national title, got beat in another one, and then, but to pull him and put in, you know, basically a true freshman says a lot for Saban. And like Jason mentioned earlier, there may not be another coach in the country who is secure enough in their job to do that. So what is your opinion on, you know, on Saban, that security? And if there's another coach that can do it, who would it be?
Well, first of all, count me among those who were shocked. I can't believe, or I couldn't believe at that moment, that he was pulling Hurts. I was like, wow. I mean, I know the kid didn't play all that well, right, but, you know, they weren't that far down. I mean, it was 13-0 at the half. You know, so, I mean, you're talking 2 scores. That's, you know, easily a couple possessions for Bama.
Right.
Yeah, so I was pretty shocked. And, you know, if I had to pick another coach who would do that, I mean, you know, Urban Meyer, you know,
Dabo
Sweeney, you know, I mean, I'm not sure I can go any further than that. I mean, you know, just guys who have those trophies in the trophy case, that's about the only guys I think that would, you know, make that bold enough of a statement that they would be willing to do that. You know, I think it's a difficult move.
I agree. You know, something I'd heard, and I don't know, Jason, I talked about it a little bit earlier, you know, a little bit of the talk around here was that he was going to go, that they expected him to play during the Clemson game. And when the game went like it did, where, you know, Bama just smothered Clemson defensively, they didn't have to play him. So that was something that we had kind of heard around here that he may play. And then if you think back to the Clemson game and then the first half of the championship game, that, which is 6 quarters, Alabama had only scored 1 offensive touchdown in 6 quarters. So
yeah, you know what? I hadn't thought of it that way, and we certainly out here, at least it would be under my radar. I never heard that Tua was going to play against Clemson, and certainly had no indication he was going to play in this final game.
Right.
Yeah, so that was something that certainly was a surprise to me, and I could judge by the temperature in the room, you know, that I can't think anybody was expecting that move, no matter what the actual results were for the previous six quarters.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. Hey, speaking about, you know, Tua and then, of course, Jalen Hurts, well, where do you think Jalen stands now, Chris? Do you think, you know, he's willing to stay there in Tuscaloosa and, you know, and be a good soldier and be a good teammate? Because at any time a quarterback gets hurt, you know, he's going to be right back in there. But do you think he stays and accepts that, or do you think he transfers?
Well, I hate to predict, like, what one guy is going to decide, you know. But
sure.
I will say this as far as he's concerned. Like, I heard, you know, he's the son of a coach.
That's right.
I heard his father's, like, a real upstanding guy. And, you know, you could kind of see it. You know, and I know, you know, it's something that, you know, gets talked about a little bit. But, you know, a lot of these underprivileged kids grow up without a father.
Right.
And a lot of times, you know, it's kind of evident. You know, the ones that have that strong father figure and the ones that don't. And, you know, I mean, what he decides to do, I could see it going either way. You know, he's a tremendous athlete, even if maybe he's
Absolutely.
Not a pro prospect as a quarterback. You know, but I think the fact of just the way he handled it when he was interviewed after the game, you could even see it on the sidelines. You know, that he was, he was all in. You know, he wasn't angry or bitter or anything like that. I guess he felt that, you know, listen, you come to Alabama, you know you're gonna be competing for a job. I don't care if you're quarterback or linebacker or whatever.
Exactly.
You know, and I give him a lot of credit for that, but I don't want to predict. But
sure.
I will say this, he certainly made me a fan, of just the way he handled it. And, yeah, I'd probably root for the kid going forward, you know, whether he stays, goes, switches positions, whatever he decides to do. I just thought he showed a lot of class.
I agree. And the thing about it is, regardless of what he does, if he stays, that kid's going to be a success in whatever he does. If he goes, you know, he's going to be a success in whatever he does. I mean, he's just, you know, that just seems to be within him that he's going to be a successful young man. Now, he could go to a lot of schools almost anywhere and make them an outstanding, great quarterback. But I think he needs to be in the system that showcases his talent.
He needs to be in a Gus Malzahn.
You're exactly right. You took the words out of my mouth.
That could be.
You put him in an Auburn, which that's not going to happen because Bama would never allow that release. But if you put him in a system similar to what Auburn does, my gosh, I mean, how good could that kid be?
Well, there's a lot of programs are running that spread type offense, and you know, we might joke about Auburn a little bit, but that offense is really all throughout the country. And if he decides to go somewhere else, I think he'll be just fine, you know, wherever he decides to go. But I agree with you. Whatever life holds for him, I think that kid's looking at a pretty good life.
That's exactly right. You know, Chris and Jason and Jay, you know, we sit around, we talk about football all the time. We love football all the time. But it's just a game, and life is so much more important than what the outcome of a game is. So I think he's one of those kids that's you know, going to make that come true.
Hey, Chris, looking at next season and maybe even the season after it, my thoughts are that the odds are better than average, if not actually good, that Alabama wins yet another national championship next year after seeing the freshman in the game the second half the other night. What do you think about Alabama coming up the next 2 years? They've already won 5 out of 9, so...
Well, that's funny you mention because I just put up next year's championship today. So I have Alabama 2-1, and you know, I mean, I'm thinking, man, you're betting this at 2-1, and it's 360 days in advance.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking, you know what? It's not a bad bet. You take Bama; they probably figured at least be in the playoff anyway. You know,
they've been in every one of them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Clemson's my second choice, 6-1. I got Georgia 7-1. What do I got? Auburn 20-1. You know, so, you know, I mean, I got I got UNLV at 5,000 on one. If you guys want to plunk a couple bucks on when you come out here, you're more than welcome to. But we just put that up today, and already we're getting a little bit of money. And, yeah, I think Bama, you know, 2-1. I mean, I personally wouldn't bet that, but I know people are going to, and I can't say they're crazy.
Right.
Yeah, I think they'll be right there. You know, if they miss the playoffs, it's probably going to be a shock of some kind.
Right. Hey, Alabama, like I said, Grizz have won 5 out of the last 9, and as we talked about, good chance you got them at 2-1, which is really high, like you said, this far in advance. But where would you rank this run by Alabama? Does it compare to the John Wooden days at UCLA, or just where do you think this falls?
Well, yeah, the John Wooden days at UCLA was pretty darn impressive, I got to tell you. It's got to be coming close, though. You know, I mean, I think, like, during the UCLA run, it was really a lot different. The NCAA tournament was a lot smaller and shorter. You know, I mean, I guess there's some similarities. I wouldn't quite put it with UCLA yet. You know, I think that's still a little more impressive. It just lasted a little bit longer. Yeah, I think it's certainly got to at least match what Bear Bryant did down there. Except for Bear was probably drunk 95% of the time. You got to score a few points for that. You know, I guess you'd have to look at some of those great Oklahoma teams of the 40s and Notre Dame teams, you know, prior to that. But that's, again, that's ancient history. I'm not sure, you know, Newt Rockne or Bud Wilkinson could ever repeat that in today's game. You know, he's got to be right up there among the all-time legends of not just football, but pretty much any sport.
Right.
I mean, today we were just discussing who would you have, Saban or Belichick, who's been more impressive. And it's, I got to tell you, there's guys on both sides of that argument. I could see both points. You know, I'd hate to have to make a definitive decision. It'd be pretty tough.
Yeah. And, you know, and something else that we have to think of in today's time, you got scholarship restrictions that you can only have so many. You know, back in Bear's day, I mean, he just keeps signing them and loading them up. You know, they would come over there and stand on the sideline when they could play, you know, somewhere else.
He'd get them, keep them going somewhere else.
Yeah, that's right. So now you can't do that anymore. But
what is the limit now? 85? And
I think
they had it 120 during Bears Day, but it was not very strictly enforced.
Exactly.
You know.
So I mean,
yeah, he had a lot of guys hidden on you know, red shirts and gray shirts and whatever else they were doing.
Exactly. So that makes it even more impressive to me, is because everybody's got good players.
Yeah, I mean, listen, however you define it, it's been pretty remarkable. You know, and I think we could start arguing this and that, but you definitely got to have him in the conversation of the all-time greats, like I said, in any sport, not just college football.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry, Jason.
Sorry about that, Ren. Did I ever tell you the story about me meeting Bear Bryant when I was like 7th, 8th grade?
No, I haven't heard it.
I got to tell you this. You're going to appreciate this. Show you how smart I am. And then I'll let Ronnie finish it up with a couple of questions. But we were at the state basketball tournament, and at that time, the coach's office were all in that Coliseum. So we got bored with the basketball games and start snooping around to see if we can find Bear's office. So we do find the head football coach and office division, we'll say. We make our way through, and it happens. You walk into a secretary's office before you walked into Bear's. Well, the secretary wasn't there. So me and two of my buddies walk on through her small office, and there's a door there, and it's got his name on the door, so we think we'll just peep in and look at his office. We peep in the door, and there sits Bear Bryant talking on the phone. He spins his chair around in time to see us. We can't go anywhere then. And so he says, hold on, said, let me call you back. I've got company. He hangs up the phone and talked to us just like he had known us since we were in diapers. And then asked where we were going to college and all, you know, and we get through talking. One of my buddies said, would you give us an autograph? Both of those guys go over there, lay their paper down, get his autograph, and he asked me, he said, what about you, son? And I said, no, sir. I said, I'm an Auburn fan. And so...
You are loyal to a fault, my friend.
I turned down Bear Bryant's autograph.
That is a great story. That is hilarious.
I'm not real proud of that now,
yeah,
but
well.
I wouldn't think so. No, no, not your finest hour, Jason.
But you can accept it as a grown, mature man, not as a youngster. Oh man,
that is great. That is hilarious.
Hey Chris, I want to ask you one more question. You know, the second half, and you know when you able to, you know, to watch the game. My question is now with the year, you know, the next year coming up, Tua's probably going to be your quarterback. What in the world are those defensive coordinators going to do when they prepare to play Bama? You know, in the past it was, we're going to load the box, we're going to stop the run, we're going to make them throw it. What do they do now? I don't have an answer. Nobody I've talked to has a clue.
You're asking the wrong but guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. You got to just mix up the defense, try to confuse them, you know, one play, stack against the run and try to hide that, and next play you're playing maybe a cover two, cover three, but really you're going to try to stop the run again. You know, I don't know, but whoever it is going to have their hands full, I can tell you that.
I got you.
I mean, if they lose two games next year, I think it'd be...
I'd be shocked.
It'd be a miracle. It'd be a miracle. They might lose one along the way. Exactly. You know, they've been known to do that. But
right.
Right now, I don't think they lose two. It'd be awful. You know, God knows we're long way away, injuries and all kind of other crap, you know.
Absolutely.
But, it'd be hard to think that they'd lose two games next year.
Yeah. You know, there's been a little bit of, I've heard a little of it, and you do every year at the end of the year, and Jason probably may have too, you know, about Saban maybe making the jump back to the NFL and talking about, you know, the New York Giants. That's the one I keep hearing, New York Giants. I can't imagine that happening. Even he said that his wife, he calls her Miss Terry, said Miss Terry's not going anywhere. She loves it in Tuscaloosa. I don't think they're going anywhere, you know, at all. But let me, you know, change courses here. I mentioned the NFL. We got the NFL playoffs going on right now. You know, who are you liking? What are you, you know, within the NFL right now with the playoffs?
Well, I think, hang on one second. What do you got? Hang on one second, guys.
Sure.
60 to win 4. Here's an update, Ronnie. On my, I just checked on my win from the other day.
Yes,
and it is. They have got at least part of it on the way now. So.
Okay, fellas, we just got 60,000 on Atlanta to win 40 on the money line this weekend.
Wow!
I guess I'm rooting for Philadelphia right now. I don't like Atlanta. Sorry, you Southern boys. That's the way it goes.
In other words, you can be bought. Is that what you're saying?
We all got our price, Ronnie. Mine was just taken. So.
Chris, you just hold on. Me and Ronnie, we're talking about throwing $20 or $30 on it last year.
Oh,
well, okay. So anyway, that answers part of your question.
Yes, it does.
I still, you know, I mean, I'd hang myself before I'd want to root for New England, you know, but I'm thinking they probably win this week. I don't think that's going to be a big shock, but, you know, I think Pittsburgh probably beats Jacksonville. It's going to be cold in Pittsburgh. You know, you got these Florida boys going up to Pittsburgh. I think the high is supposed to be 19 on Sunday, so that's going to be a little bit of a shock.
Right.
You know, Pittsburgh kind of owes them, too. That's a game that Roethlisberger threw to 5 interceptions and was talking about retirement after the game, so he was he was pretty shook. And I think Pittsburgh right now is really healthy. Brown's healthy. I mean, they're still obviously going to miss Shazier, but, you know, I think that they're really they're geared up for this game. They're very focused on this, and I think if and when they beat Jacksonville, I think they go up to New England, and I think they've got a pretty good chance of beating New England, so I'm going to go with them. But, you know, on the other side of the fence, I really think the New Orleans-Minnesota game, I think it's probably the NFC Championship game right there. I think they're both pretty good teams, and I kind of like Minnesota. I think their defense is just that much better, but you sure can't, you know, you can't eliminate Drew Brees, especially in a dome. Sure. Weather won't have any effect, and you know, he can sure put up some points. I know he's getting a little long in the tooth, but right. he's still capable of playing some really, really good games. I do worry about their defense, but you know, if New Orleans wins that game, that wouldn't surprise me at all. And like I said, I really think that's the championship game right there.
Yeah.
And if Atlanta beats Philly, New Orleans gets the home game. You know, if they beat Minnesota,
absolutely.
So they're going to be tough to beat.
Right. Hey, let me ask you this, Chris, and I know you got better things that you need to do. What did Tennessee cost you? You know, did that cost you a chunk of change? Them coming back, winning the football game, down 21-3.
Oh no, that was a good one.
That was a good one for you. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That was a good one. Yeah. Actually, the pros were real good. We had a real good Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
But yeah, Monday kind of got us even a little bit, you know. But you know, I got to tell you, I got the greatest bosses in the world, you know. And like when I walked in and told him, I said, "Yeah, hey, you know, this guy, and he knows who the guy is. He's uh-huh. just, he just bet us 580 to win 300 on Alabama." And he was on the phone with his partner, and Whew. They both just started laughing. They said, "Well, I guess we're rooting for Georgia tonight," you know. And I mean, you know, and when I lose, I mean. He busts my chops, but I always tell him, the day you stop busting my chops is the day I know I'm probably in trouble. He's one of those kind of guys, you know. And even before I worked for him, I would always joke. I said, I have one billionaire in the world who would take my phone calls, and it's you, so don't change now, you know.
Oh, fantastic.
Hey, Chris, we want to tell you, you know, I don't know how many of our listeners have realized it, but this today will be our last show until preseason 2018. So, want to again tell you how much we thank you for joining us Absolutely. Each week. It wouldn't be the same without you. So, if you will agree to it, we'll go ahead and book you again for next season. So,
sign me up.
All right.
That's all we need to know.
You guys, just give me a little advance notice. The rooms are on me, fellas. I mean it. I've even scattered out a few barbecue joints in this town.
Right,
I don't live up to your standards, but we got steakhouses and Italian food and all kind of stuff. I'd love to see you guys out here. I really, really would.
We're going to make it. We're going to make it to spring.
Hey, can we get a penthouse suite or something like that?
No.
No? No. Okay. Okay. Well, it didn't take you long to think about that one, did it?
No, not at all. No, I used to make a quick decision, so, you know.
All right.
The rooms are on me, and I'm not joking. You know,
all right.
You know,
well,
I'd love to have you guys out here. I really would.
Plans are that we will be there, so we'll be getting back with you. But until then, Chris, a super big thank you. I know
Absolutely.
A thank you from all of our listeners and from Jay, just everyone involved here. So.
Well, like I said, it's a labor of love, fellas. It's I know this year we used to be on for an hour, but this year, of course, I had a few health problems. But
sure.
you know, it's been one of my favorite half hours of the week talking to you guys.
So great,
really enjoy the heck out of it.
Same here, man. Take care of yourself and
be safe and be healthy.
That's right, and we will be back in touch with you.
Okay, great. You guys have a great off season. I hope to see you pretty soon.
All right, thanks, Chris.
All right. See you guys.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Hey, what a buddy.
I'm telling you. And where you're going, Ronnie. You might as well get ready. We're going to
Las Vegas
this spring. So.
All right.
4:46. We're going to be right back. Take a commercial break. And about 5 o'clock, we'll have Dan Vosta. And stay with us and ratchet yourself in for Dan, because I imagine he is going to be like a monkey on crack today. So. Until then, Sports Talk Live 95.5. We'll be right back.
Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network.
From the ARN News Center, I'm Derek Scudder. A Gadsden couple has been arrested in connection to chemical endangerment of a child. 65-year-old Danny Lee Poole and 58-year-old Teresa Poole each face charges after they were found lying in a bedroom next to an 18-month-old child with a glass pipe, methamphetamine, digital scale, and a .22 rifle. Firearms manufacturer Kimber is coming to Alabama. The New York-based company will open a nearly $40 million plant in Troy in 2019. It's expected to bring over 350 jobs to the area. The Singing River Music Sculpture mock-up for Florence has been unveiled, and work will now get underway on the 20-foot aluminum sculpture depicting a trumpet player in a tribute to the father of the blues, Florence's W.C. Handy. Each of the four shoal cities will have a Singing River sculpture. Sheffield's was erected first and depicts a 1950s rock singer. Muscle Shoals' sculpture depicts a recording session bassist. Tuscumbia's sculpture, which is under commission, will depict a Native American. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Plans for a new downtown Birmingham stadium are moving forward. The Jefferson County Commission is committing $30 million. Commissioner David Carrington says it'll include 45,000 permanent seats and 90,000 square feet of meeting space. The entire project is estimated to cost more than $120 million. The stadium will be built on land in the Uptown District near the Civic Center. Montgomery's Public School Board is set to interview two superintendent candidates on Friday. They are required to hire an interim superintendent by February 5th, and the position must be permanently filled by May 30th. A 23-year-old man serving a four-year sentence for burglary in Etowah County escaped from the Loxley Work Release Center in Baldwin County. Corrections officials report Jonah Andrew Sailors has several identifying tattoos that read Family First, Dead Crazy, and Florida Dog, as well as barbed wire, a cross, and a set of praying hands. I'm Derek Scudder, ARN News.
Hey there, it's me, John. I'm just a regular dad, but I'm a big deal at my house, mostly because I'm there. That's half of being a great dad, showing up. The other part is tricky. Let's use a simple test to see if you can figure out that other part, shall we? What is this sound?
Thanks, Dad.
I know it's only two words. Could be the sound of gratitude. That's the obvious guess, but listen carefully.
Thanks, Dad.
There's a lot of history in those two words. A lot of time spent understanding each other, admitting mistakes, making changes, expressing feelings. Those two words are really saying respect. Now, that's a hard thing to teach. Respect yourself, your parents, your teachers, your fellow human beings. Wow! Can a kid learn all that just by spending more time with his father? Well, it's a start.
This message brought to you by...
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill. Woo-hoo! Hey, we're not kidding, seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today, or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's Independent Radio.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Coleman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting-edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Coleman area and most Coleman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
In sports, underclassmen continue to announce their intention to enter the 2018 NFL Draft. Among state players to declare include Kerryon Johnson, Cameron Petway, Jeff Holland, and Carlton Davis of Auburn. Calvin Ridley, Daron Payne, and Bo Scarborough of Alabama have also decided to go pro. Alabama running back Damian Harris was expected to jump to the NFL, but he's decided to return to the Tide for his senior season. The 24-karat gold college football playoff championship trophy is making the rounds. It's in Northport today and in Tuscaloosa tomorrow for fans to take pictures, but no touching. College basketball tonight, UAB hosts Southern Miss at Bartow Arena in Birmingham. The Blazers are 11-5 and 2-1 in Conference USA. UFC star Ronda Rousey could be headed to the WWE. Executive Paul Levesque, better known as WWE superstar Triple H, met with Rousey this week and again fueled speculation that the UFC's biggest female star might leave the octagon for a wrestling career. I'm Derek Scudder, ARN News.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com. Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant. 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Don't stop believing.
That's right. Anybody can win it.
That's it. That's it. And start 2018 season, everybody will be on equal ground to start with.
That's exactly right.
And after a week and a week, 50% will be winless.
That's right. Absolutely right.
And 50% will be unbeaten. So
there you go.
Oh, I don't know. I tell you, Ronnie, it's going to be interesting. Alabama, of course, going to be at the top next year. Georgia will be up at the top. I think good chance Auburn will be in the top 10.
Final rankings, Auburn came in at 10. Is that right?
I haven't even seen.
Okay. I think that's,
don't even know.
I think that's right. Came in at 10 or 11.
I know who the number one team is, and then after that,
yeah,
who cares?
Kind of insignificant, yep, isn't it?
So, and Alabama fans, if you want to send your thank yous and your appreciation to the University of Auburn, because without Auburn, that would not have been possible.
I had to have a, yeah, you're right. Had to have a loss by Auburn.
That will never happen again.
Y'all hang on. The emergency alert system just broke in.
Okay.
That's more important than us.
I think it was just a test, so you're back on now.
Okay.
This is a test. It is only a test. Had this been an actual emergency.
Oh, boy. But, yeah, I agree. You know, it's like a few other years that Alabama has made it. They've made it by the skin of their teeth. They've had to have help from other folks, gotten breaks. But as any of us know, if you're going to get to the final, into the Final Four, or into the playoff, I should say, and then certainly win a national championship, you're going to have some breaks.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're going to have some things go your way, and that's just the way it is.
I do think, Ronnie, the system needs fixing, though. They need to clearly define what you need to accomplish to get into that playoff.
Well, I think they've made it pretty clear. I think they've made it clearer the last 2 years that they've put somebody in there that did not win their conference championship. So apparently that's not a prerequisite to get, just because you win your conference championship, there's no guarantee you're going to get in. I understand what you're saying. Last year they put Ohio State in who did not win it. This year they put Alabama in who didn't win the SEC, but ends up winning the national championship. But I agree with you. Does this bring on even more discussion about, an 8-team playoff?
I think it does, but I don't think we're going to see it happen because I think what they want to happen is happening. It's going to keep more people talking about
you're
it.
You're exactly right.
And keep college football on the forefront.
And because these were three outstanding games, that's even more,
Let's be honest, run in and say two outstanding games. That Alabama-Clemson game.
Well,
Alabama pretty much handled them.
I agree. It was pretty much handled, but it wasn't a 31-0.
Yeah.
You know, like what happened to Ohio State. You know, okay. Two out of three were great football games. So the argument, you know, to expand it to give more teams an opportunity, you know, I think that loses a little bit of its luster when your playoff games, your semis are pretty dang good, and your final championship game is just.
I have a hard time with and not because it's Alabama, but I just have a hard time not rewarding conference champions, because when you don't reward them, you turn around and punish them for playing in that championship game. You're better off not to play in it and take that chance on losing, and then Alabama did and move in.
Yeah. I don't know, Jason. I understand what you're saying, but I'd rather play and control my own fate than put it in somebody else's hands.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think you agree with that.
If you're Alabama, you're going to get in. I mean, since 1992, Alabama, the only team in the nation to have played for the national championship and haven't won their conference. They've done it twice. They were picked against LSU 2011 and then again this year. So,
yeah. They haven't had two losses and they got no chance. So, you know, they have a single loss and they get help. I mean, the pieces of the puzzle fell like it had to for them to get in. And why once they get in.
Why not go to eight and you can take the five conference champions, three at large. Central Florida would have been in the mix. They would have had no room to go to Disney World and hang their banner. And boy, I've got eat up on Twitter for tweeting back at Central Florida's football team. They had tweeted out about their national championship and their parade, and I tweeted back to them until they played a real schedule. They had no room to complain. And then another one I'd added, you know, if you want the big boy hardware, you've got to play a big
boy schedule. You're exactly right. I mean, they're the two most difficult teams on their schedule was University of South Florida and Memphis. And not saying those aren't good programs, because they are good programs. But come on, let's be real.
The majority of their opponents had a losing record this season.
So. That's exactly right. So, you know, hey, what they did was remarkable. I mean, they went from zero wins to going undefeated. I mean, gosh, you know, you got to give them their credit. Credit's due to them.
And I had another idea for them I sent to them, too. Is I knew it was too late this year, but next year, I said, they could even name their own All-American team and their own Heisman.
Oh, man. Yeah, granted, you know, Central Florida, they had everything in the world, and we've talked about it, they had everything in the world to play for. That bowl game was their national championship, and Auburn had absolutely nothing to play for. And your kids like your Kerryon Johnsons and those cats that already knew they were going to the NFL, you can be rest assured you're not going to get their best
effort.
That's it. And you can't blame them.
No. Millions of dollars on the line.
Absolutely.
All right, 5 o'clock, time for a break, and now this time we'll get Dan the Man on with us. Well, we were running a little bit early, but Dan will be on when we come back, so stay with us, hear what he's got to say, and I'll try to rub him a little bit about Georgia and the whole playoff system.
Them dogs, and they stay on the porch.
All right, Sports Talk Live 95.5, Coleman.
No longer new, but still all Coleman. We are Coleman's independent radio station. Live 95, WRJMLP, Coleman. Coleman's independent radio is proud to present yet another local community program for Coleman. Join us on Tuesday night as we present Understanding the Law for 1 hour starting at 6 p.m. Our very own Big D, who also runs the What's Happening in Coleman Facebook page, hosts various Coleman attorneys for a discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office. They also take a deep dive into how the system works right here in Coleman County. No law show would be complete without calls from the audience, so go ahead and program the station phone number into your phone now, 256-737-9505. That's 256-737-9505. Then prepare to join us each Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. for Understanding the Law. This program is made possible by the support of local Cullman attorney Melvin Hastin. Live 95 is Cullman's independent radio, all about Cullman for Cullman.
I'll be 502 back with you, Sports Talk Live. And just as promised, Dan the Man on with us. Dan, welcome back to Sports Talk Live here in the state of Alabama, home with the national champions.
You betcha. Thanks for having me on, guys. Happy Thursday to y'all.
Happy Thursday. Roll Tide, Dan.
Indeed.
Dan Rennie's head is bigger than any pumpkin you saw at Halloween. Hey, Dan, let's get it started. Where does this year's title game rank in the college football playoff era? I mean, it looked pretty good to me. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think certainly it's in my top three. We've only had, five now? But I think compared just to the last couple, I think it ranks pretty highly up there with it. I think last year's, you could maybe give a slight nod to with just the overall explosiveness and look at the teams were a little bit better in last year's matchup than this year's. But certainly, something we've been blessed with the last now 3 years, we've had some great finishes that have, the games have come down to the wire. We get overtime this year. We had one that came down to the last play last year, and this one had a little bit reverse in favor of Alabama. So I'd probably put it slightly behind last year's. And I put it at least on par with 3 years ago when Alabama beat Clemson in their first matchup of the last 3 years. I probably put it at least on par, not ahead of that one, maybe slightly behind this past championship when Clemson edged Alabama. But now with Bama edging Georgia, I think that's a solid two, make it 3 years in a row. It's just been remarkable that we've been blessed as fans, and certainly if you're a faithful of the Crimson Tide, you've been very fortunate as well now, winning two of the last three titles.
Right, and I agree with you. I think last year, a better game. I hadn't thought about it, but since Alabama lost, I think last year was a better game. So
you just hater.
Hey, speaking of losing, Dan, Georgia hasn't won a national championship since 1980, so how tough a loss is this for the University of Georgia, Kirby and the boys, and will they be back anytime soon?
Yeah, I think they'll be back. It's just a matter of how quick can they turn this around, because they're getting some big 4- and 5-star recruits, the top recruiting class, this for next season. But it's tough to get there, as we've seen. It's been a while since Georgia. They came so close in 2012. I thought this was at least their best team since then. I think they got a chance because the SEC East should be theirs, and we could potentially see Bama and Georgia for many years to come. But I think, you know, with a young quarterback and Jake Fromm, you could say the future is very bright the next 2-3 years, and I think they have a chance to potentially go far ways. And I think it's going to be sooner than later they'll get another opportunity. It's just a matter of can they break through, and they'll be tested yet again.
Hey, Dan, one of my questions is, now that the season's over and we look back on this Bama team for Saban, how do you think it ranks for Saban? You know, is this the best team that's won a national title he's ever had, or where do you put them?
Yeah, I think you could argue maybe from overall talent, it's probably among the lower teams that Saban's had that's won national championships. I would argue that last year's team was even better that didn't win it. But, you know, there's always special ingredients towards a national championship run. And certainly, I think the defenses were fairly comparable. I thought the pass rushing skills were a little bit better than a year ago than they were this season. But overall, for the most part, they were still able to run the ball for the most part. But obviously you saw with Jalen Hurts out in the second half, that quarterback change. I think the passing department was significantly better this year than the last couple of years, which is something that Alabama has not really been able to take advantage of, at least in the CFP games. When Jalen Hurts, I think he never threw for more than $130 or so. And certainly, Tua took over and was the star that we all thought he was capable of being, but in such a limelight, it was great to see the overall passing attack really, I think, exceed expectations. But overall, I think the defense was not too far behind. I would probably put at least with Saban at Alabama, maybe the worst of the bunch that we've seen of the five that Saban's going to Bama, maybe the worst of the bunch. But it's not a too shabby thing because they're still the best team this year, this season in college football. I think it was just the overall trenches was just unbelievable as usual. I thought the front four was still, you know, borderline flawless compared to most teams. I thought they had a little bit more speed maybe a year ago. But you look at Minkah Fitzpatrick, Ronnie Harrison, Anthony Everett. These guys are all world players, and it should, you know, they should have lots of luck in playing Sunday's football as well. So maybe the worst of the five, but those all five are quite the talented teams. And there was something special, though, about this season with the run they did have. And that's what's so special about these national championship teams that all these programs have had the opportunities to come through, and you see Alabama consistently break through. So I might put on the bottom of the overall talent, but in terms of the special, that you know, the bond they had and their ability to break through when they were really their backs against the wall, you could argue maybe made this year special, maybe in previous ones.
Okay. Hey, Dan, let me throw one at you here. You know, when Tua came in at the beginning of the second half, you know, would you say that you were, you know, shocked, surprised, saw it coming? I mean, where were you on that spectrum when the second half started?
Yeah, I wasn't overly shocked because, I mean, the passing game has been inept. I was a little surprised, though, a little bit, certainly, to see the quarterback change, but they were so inept at that passing attack. I thought they needed to do something, maybe give him a series. And certainly he flashed some brilliance. He broke, what, 3 or 4 tackles, and that was, I believe, one of the first drives at midfield for a 9-yard run where Tua really spun around and avoided a sack. And there's a couple times Georgia's defense did make a play on him, but more times than not, the secondary of Georgia, which was an issue for most part of the year, at least a minor issue. I think Alabama figured we have a strength and we have some talented receivers like Calvin Ridley. We need to take advantage of that going against the Georgia secondary. That's really their main and only weakness, arguably, was that perimeter of the defense in the secondary. They got some athletes, got some good players, but that wasn't the strength of their team. And I think Alabama really took in charge of that and took advantage of it. So I was a little surprised, but it was certainly not the biggest shocker of the game.
Yeah. Okay. You know, now the season's over and, you know, Saban's won another one, another national championship. Well, where are your feelings about Saban being the best all time?
Yeah, I think going into the year, you had to put him in the discussion, at least the argument. And now, with number 6 now, right there with Coach Bear Bryant, I think going in, I had him in the top 3 to 5 going into the season. And now I don't think there's any argument. You got to keep him in that top 2 or 3 at the worst case. And the good news for him is he's still coaching, he's still recruiting and getting the best players, arguably. So I would put him right there with Coach Bear Bryant in that top 2. I think it's neck and neck. And I think many people favor Coach Nick Saban over Bear Bryant, maybe with his national championship. But I think you win one more, and then there's no debate, and there's a good chance if you win one more, he's going to be coaching for a handful more years, because 5 and 9 years, math serves me right, he can win another one next 2 or 3. So I think it's neck and neck. It's almost like the great debate of who you prefer, Tom Brady or Joe Montana,
right.
Or maybe some other quarterbacks. I think it's so neck and neck. The good news is, you know, you got your guy on your side as an active coach and still many more opportunities to bring home another one. This is a very fortunate national championship, and they took the opportunity they were given and made the most of it. So I'll go neck and neck, kind of like 1A, 1B. I thought going the year, at best, you could put him number 2. I think worse now, he's at least number 2, and certainly the sky's the limit.
Thanks, Dan.
Hey, Dan, see if you agree with my thinking. Alabama strong. We know what kind of players, by looking at the freshman squad, they played the second half the other night. Georgia seems to be lighting the world up, recruiting, number one recruiting class. Some say maybe the best recruiting class of all time. Can we look to see an Alabama-Georgia matchup again next year for the SEC championship?
I think so. I think certainly, he could potentially see him obviously in the CFP again, potentially. I think preseason, Georgia's got a great chance to be in the top 10 and probably top 5, and Alabama could be a good chance to be number 1, which means I think there's a good chance we'll see him in Atlanta like we did in 2012 and nearly saw him this year But well, because we didn't see him in the SEC championship this year, we got to see him for all the marbles, the national championship. And I think there's a good chance that these are not only two of the best programs, but in terms of recruiting bases, these good teams, you know, rise to the occasion. I think these teams are going to be in the top more times than not. So I think we're going to see him at least in the next 2-3 years. I wouldn't be shocked if we see him at least once, maybe twice in the SEC title. And a good chance, I think, you could potentially see him both at least back in the CFP at the same time, which gives you at least a decent shot of seeing him play again. So I think there's a very strong case to see these two teams in the future. It was amazing you saw Bama Clemson. We didn't think that would happen 3 years in a row, and so it is, and maybe we won't see those teams play again. It could be Georgia-Bama to be the next where we see these teams play a bunch in the month of January. So I wouldn't be shocked if that's the new rivalry and kind of Clemson-Bama goes away a little bit and you see Georgia-Bama. I wouldn't be shocked at all. That could be the teams that I'm looking at, hopeful to see in January, because that means it's an important game with something very important on the line.
All right. Now, I want to, Dan, let me piggyback off what Jason just was talking about, the SEC championship for next year. Let me just go a step further since we're talking about championships and playoffs. Give me your four teams right now that you think will be in the playoff next year.
Yeah, you know what? I think, you know, preseason, I think Clemson's going to be probably the favorite in the ACC. But I'm going to go with Florida State over Clemson, and certainly Miami's going to be ranked high. I think the ACC is still going to be a top-two conference. It's been arguably the best until the SEC got two in this past year. We were able to flex our muscles. But I think they're my last team in. I think that the biggest argument would be, can Bama repeat? Can they go undefeated? Can they get away with a loss again and get in but win their division? I think there's a good chance that they can win their division next year, though Auburn's going to be very strong. So give me Bama in the SEC. And then I think the Big 12, good chance they're going to get left out with Baker Mayfield and Oklahoma's high-powered offense out. Just, there's too many good teams out there. West Virginia could be a tough roadblock for them. So I'll go Bama SEC as my top seed. I'll sneak in Florida State over Clemson as my last team in. And then kind of those two seeds that I think could be in the middle. I still think you got to favor Clemson with Florida State and ACC. But going to the Big Ten, Ohio State's got a lot talent coming back despite losing J.T. Barrett. So I think the Buckeyes, they have some good non-conference games. They have TCU next year, who should be pretty good. So I think the Buckeyes, who just missed out, of course, this past year, I like them to sneak back in. And I'm going to go with the Pac-12. I think certainly Sam Darnold leaving USC is going to potentially give them some issues. But I'm gonna go with the Trojans' overall record and overall talent. I think that could propel them in the CFP. And I think they're my third conference in. I got ACC in there as well, I mentioned. I think, you know, it's going to be obviously chaotic like it was this year. I think you had, though, three or four really good teams this year, and you didn't even mention UCF or Wisconsin this past year. I'm not sure we're going to see that many, you know, very good to great teams next year. I think certainly Bama is going to be the number one team. But after that, you're going to have lots of questions. I'm not overly high on the Pac-12 or Big 12, but I think certainly one of those two conference champions will likely get in. But certainly the SEC with Bama and Georgia, I think Georgia you got to put in the discussion at least. But after those juggernauts of Alabama, Ohio State, I think it's going to be wide open. I'm really looking forward to Clemson, Florida State. That game is in Tallahassee, which is why I give them the slight nod. But certainly the Tigers, having gone 3 years in a row, will be preseason top five and will be deservedly favored over. But there's a couple other radar teams we'll be talking more throughout this offseason. But I think a team to look out for, West Virginia in the Big 12 potentially. But I'm going to go Big 12 among the Power Fives being left out, okay, with Alabama, Ohio State, Florida State, and USC is my top four for next year.
Thanks, Dan. I was going to ask you another question, Dan. It has completely left me, but I think it'll be
They call that old-timers. Hey, Dan, while he's thinking of that, let me throw something at you. I don't know how much you are keeping up with recruiting right now since the season just ended, but I'm just looking through this Georgia class because I've been hearing so much about it, and, man, it is loaded to the gill. I'm talking about Kirby, a heck of a job. Have you seen a recruiting class that compares to this one?
Yeah, I mean, it's as good as it's ever gotten for Georgia, and that's why I think the future's bright for them. They're really getting superstars in the perimeter, and they're continuing to get some big-time quarterback prospects that some conferences, let alone teams, would love to have an opportunity like the disposal that Georgia's going to be having for the near future. That's why I think the future's very bright for the Dogs, and I think they're likely going to be Alabama's biggest threat, where they potentially could meet up all the time in Atlanta every December.
Okay.
Hey, Dan, I thought about my question. After we, you know, just had the championship game and, of course, the playoffs there, do you think the quality of the games that we got in the two semis and then the finals, does that solidify or basically end the discussion for the 18 playoff, or do you think Bama getting in brings that discussion, you know, more to the forefront?
No, I think I was, obviously, I thought the games were great, yet maybe the greatest Rose Bowl ever. Certainly Sugar Bowl wasn't too shabby either. Certainly I love the defensive battle in the 10-6 game before the Ron Payne show began for Alabama. I think I love the way that four teams are right now. I was always a fan of the BCS title, and a plus one was kind of wide, and now we kind of have a plus two with four teams in. I think if he expanded, then the ninth team would win again in 10th, and then I think it potentially would diminish the regular season. You'd have a lot of two-loss teams, and potentially a three-loss team would probably get hyped up to potentially sneak in if you went to eight teams, and then you'd have to maybe let teams that really weren't deservedly as, you know, deservedly so to get in, as well as the pure best teams, which I think we certainly have, I thought, nailed it on the head every year in the CFP so far. The four best teams in my eyes have been in every year. And certainly I feel like more times than it proves itself in the postseason. Not always. There's going to be some games and some matches that just don't favor well for certain teams. But I thought this year with Bama getting in, and it always played out with Wisconsin losing Ohio State. And I thought the games proved to be, you know, very well played for the most part. And you got another great national championship, who I thought the best two teams all year for the most part. I never really had Georgia out of my top five, and I never had Alabama out of my top three or four at least. For the entire season. So I thought those were two of the better teams all year, and there's more times I had Georgia-Bama in my top two or three throughout the season. So I think more times than not, it plays itself out and it rewards the fans and gives you the best talent on the field and the best teams. And more times than not, they perform, and we get another tremendous national championship.
Great. Thanks, Dan. Hey, I forgot my next question.
They call that old timers.
I forgot again.
His head is swelled so much, is what it is.
I got it, Dan. Hey, and I'm really throwing one at you from left field here. You know, as always, there's a lot of college head coaching changes throughout the off season, really even before the off season now. But if I could put you on the spot of the changes of the major colleges, who do you think is in the best spot to turn that program either into or back into, you know, national prominence again?
Yeah, I think Nebraska could be an interesting team to look out for with Scott Frost. I think, you know, it's not maybe saying a whole lot, but going, you know, from 7-8 losses the last couple of years, they've had some losing seasons. I think they could, in 2 years, 2-3 years, I think they can get back to at least an 8-win team and being a relevant top 25 team that could potentially play in some New Year's Day games, potentially. I'm not saying they're going to play for the Rose Bowl in the Big Ten or anything like that, but I think they could play in, like, Outback and Citrus Bowl games. Their team, I think they're going to have a big target on their back, or at least a lot of eyes will be watching them in the offseason going into next season in the Big Ten. And then certainly, you know, I think UCLA in the Pac-12 would be another team to look out for with Chip Kelly. So new coaches and programs that usually have solid talent that have had lots of prestige in the past, those teams I'd be looking out for. The Bruins would not be shocking to me to see them in 2-3 years. Kind of have a similar path to what Chris Peterson's taken Washington. We're going to the CFP, and then obviously as Fiesta Bowl this past year. It wouldn't be surprised if the Bruins got back that level soon.
Okay, thanks. Thank you, Dan.
Well, all right, Dan. We're going to let you get out of about 4 minutes early, actually, today.
So you got it.
We won't have to pay any overtime. And, Dan, I don't know if our listeners are becoming aware of it, if they weren't aware, but this will be our last show. We end up always the one show after the national championship, so we're going to wrap it up and say goodbye until a couple of weeks before the season starts, and forgive us if we holler back at you and hook up with you again this next season.
Yeah, sounds great. I appreciate you guys as always, and I'm happy for you guys having a great year in the state of Alabama for your football teams, and I appreciate you guys having me on as always every Thursday, and we'll keep in touch, and I appreciate for what a great season it was.
All right, and thank you, Dan. Thanks for all the help throughout the season.
You got it. Take care, guys.
Have a great one. All right, Dan, the man Buster.
From Chicago, Illinois.
And we talk to people all over the nation.
That's exactly right.
We need somebody on the East Coast.
We need somebody, you know, yeah, or somebody, you know, out in the Caribbean. We need a Jamaican.
That's good, good. Hey, if we had another show or two, I was going to try to get somebody from Central Florida on here. 5:22, we come back, maybe we'll have Mr. Rex Chambers doing a little fishing.
That's right.
Orch Talk Live. We'll be right back.
Spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Cullman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting-edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Cullman area and most Cullman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Cullman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Cullman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Cullman since 1989, Cullman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Cullman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Cullman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Cullman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors-only exercise plan at little or no cost. Cullman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit CullmanSportsFit.com.
/5:25, and we still need to get Jay on that Brad Paisley.
I know it.
Fishing song.
We've mentioned it to him before, but
you know, I was really thinking, do I have Barnes and Barnes's fish heads or not?
Hey, Rex, how are you, man?
Doing fine.
Hey, are you feeling better this week?
I tell you, last Thursday was my first day since Christmas Eve that I felt good.
Yeah,
I'm 100% now, though.
Oh, fantastic. Hey, before we start talking anything about any fishing, tell me, what's your thoughts on the ball game? I mean, I ain't trying to...
Let's back up to the last little show. I agree with him on a couple of things, but the biggest thing I agreed with was right toward the end when you asked him who he thinks going to do good about the coaching changes. And I'm going to tell you better look out for Nebraska.
I agree. That's the name
Ball.
Frost
is a coach.
I agree.
I don't know what kind of recruiter he is, but if he can recruit just a little bit, I don't see why anybody in the world would ever want to go to Nebraska. I remember back in the heyday, Nebraska was the hit.
But, absolutely. Tom Osborne.
I don't know who'd want to live there, but if he can do any kind of recruiting whatsoever, the man can coach. I'll give him that much. So they will do good soon.
Yep. I agree. That was the name I was thinking of, and that was the first one he threw out. So,
as far as the Monday night game goes,
yeah,
I can show you on the text. I'm sitting there texting another Auburn alum, and I told him, I said, if, and this is a big if,
sure,
Saban's got the testicular fortitude,
yes, yes,
to swap quarterbacks, Alabama win this game.
Yeah.
And so when they put two in after half, I'm thinking, I don't think he'll leave him in. And no, you know, it was three and out.
Yeah, it was. You're right. It was three and out.
And I'm thinking, well, they're going to lose. That's all there is to it. And then after they got the ball back, here he trotted back out on the field, and I said, uh-oh,
yeah,
it's over.
Yeah.
I knew it was over because the kid is special. I mean, I kept up with him, you know, before he got to Alabama.
Right.
The kid is special, and he's going to be a Heisman winner. Maybe more than once.
I haven't even thought that, Rex, but I think that's possible. You know, he's got a.
And rumor mill. Well, you know how rumor mill.
Yeah, sure.
But rumor mill, he was transferring.
I heard that. Was going to UCLA, is what I heard. If he didn't,
yeah. He was going to go because he knew he wasn't going to play the next 2 years.
That's right. And I can't. How could you blame a kid with that talent?
That's right, but that's over. Somebody else better be looking for some transfer papers.
You know, and Dable, the offensive coordinator, you know, he goes from the goat to the kingpin in one change of personnel.
And he's gone now, ain't he? Ain't he leaving?
No, I hadn't heard that he's leaving. The offensive that's coordinator, right,
the bearded guy on the sideline,
yeah,
play calling,
yeah.
I think I read an article today where he's leaving.
Well, I haven't heard that. Was he going back to the NFL?
It was just a blur, but I seen. Now, I'd also seen scrolling across ESPN that his playbook got stolen 2 days before the game.
No, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
out of his hotel room.
Oh, my goodness. Now, I did see something about headlines about something about, you know, DeBall, Dable, if he wanted to go back to the NFL, he could get an offensive coaching job or something. But
that might have been what I read. Yeah. I just seen where it said another Alabama coach could leave.
Yeah.
So I didn't read up on it. So.
Right, right. But, you know, they've got to hire a defensive coordinator and then another position coach because one of their position coaches left to go to Colorado State as a defensive coordinator. But you know, hey, Tua changed the whole dynamic of that game and the flow of the game and everything that
special and I think his brother's already committed too, hasn't he?
I think he has. And some say, I have no idea, that he's better than Tua. You know,
that's everything I've read is he's the stud of the two.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, I think Saban didn't have a choice. I don't think, you know, in pulling Jalen, and Jalen's done a wonderful job for him. You know, but there's a lot of quarterbacks, as Jason said, there's a lot of quarterbacks out there that would have won a lot of games, you know, at Tuscaloosa.
As an diehard Auburn fan,
sure,
I give credit where credit's due. Saban is the number one coach, yeah, in college football history. Right. There's no question about it. Anybody wants to question it, well, Brad Bright, do it. It's different. It's a different decade. I mean, it's totally different.
That's right.
Coaching, you know, back when Bear ruled the roost, there were quite as many rules there is now.
No, and you know, we talked about that a little bit earlier because back then there was no scholarship restrictions. I mean, Bear could sign about as many as he wanted. You know,
right.
He
was, nowadays with restrictions, yeah, and the rules and with just parity.
That's right.
Parity is a big thing.
Everybody's got good players.
See what he's done is really special.
It truly is.
Now, I don't know what they're feeding them boys because, I mean, they got some 275, 270-pound linebackers,
yeah,
that can move.
That's right.
So their strength and conditioning coach, now, he looks like he's a little horse himself.
Yep.
But, I don't know what they're sprinkling in their Cheerios in the morning, but it's some big strong boys.
They certainly are, and
they're head and shoulders above the rest.
Yeah,
that's all there is to it.
And I don't think it was Alabama was, once they got into the playoff, they were favored to win it. You know, Vegas favored them to win it, and you know it played out just like that. Now,
tell me this:
yeah,
in our lifetimes, I can promise you this, and I'll lay money on it. You'll never, ever, ever see two teams playing for the national championship that were both beaten in the same season by one.
I agree. I don't think that'll ever happen. Nope.
Never happen again.
Nope. I don't think it will, you know. And I guess for Gus, you know, he really wants to get out in politics for an 18 playoff after he beat them both and, you know, didn't get in the playoffs. So, and I don't blame him, you know. I'd be politicking for an 18 playoff too, you know.
Yeah, he should have won.
But, you know, it is what it is there anyway, so.
When it's winning in, you better win the game.
That's exactly right. You're right. Hey, Rex, let's go ahead.
Before I forget it, anybody's listening, they wondering what to do for supper tonight.
Yeah.
I just left the Elks Lodge.
For supper.
Swamp John's is up there doing a benefit.
Thank you, God.
Doing a benefit dinner for the Forgotten Fallen Warriors.
Hey, what time does it end?
Do what now?
What time does it end?
7:00.
7:00. That is some good.
Then take out flakes, fish, shrimp. All you can. I mean, I'm sitting here miserable, so it's pretty good.
It is good. We had them when I was at Vimont. They came up and did some fundraisers for the school or for, I think it was a band or something. The food was outstanding. Hey, Rex, I kind of cut you off, but tell everyone why they're at the Elk Lodge again.
It's a benefit supper for the Forgotten Fallen Warriors.
Okay. Forgotten Fallen Warriors. Okay. Fantastic reason to go by and get something from Swamp Jones.
Put all the plate and eat there, take it out. It's awesome dinner. Awesome
I got
dinner.
You. Until 7 o'clock.
Until I think they're serving
till
7.
Okay. All right. Good deal. Hey, Rex, before we get into the local fishing and how you're doing, that kind of stuff, you know, on a very somber note, and you may have some information. I certainly don't have any kind of details, but there was a horrible accident down, I think it was one of the, was it the FLW tour down on Lake Okeechobee?
Yes, it was the FLW Costa Series.
Okay.
It's the step below the tour.
Okay. Okay.
And they had a boating accident. He was ejected from the boat. The drivers feared horrible weather. Now don't get, there's 250 boats in this thing now, and 249 had no trouble.
Right.
And they're going to be finger pointing on this like crazy. But anyway, the driver was found later that night on Thursday night, clinging to his boat's demolished, and they just found the passenger yesterday, I think.
What? Yeah, was it like 6 days that he'd been missing?
Right. Yeah, 5 or 6 days. Just there the day before, and they finally recovered his body. But that's a bad thing. Hey, and just yesterday, another bass angler went missing up on Center Hill Lake up in Tennessee.
Okay, I didn't know that.
He was the faculty advisor for Tennessee Tech's fishing team, and they recovered his body just this afternoon.
So. Wow. No details what happened or anything?
Who knows? He was 66-year-old and out by himself.
Oh.
So who knows? Could have been a health issue.
Sure.
Could have been anything.
Right.
We've had two gone this past week.
Right. And I understand, I saw the photo, or actually the little video of the guy's boat on Lake Okeechobee. And I mean, the water was really rough even when I saw that, and the boat was just destroyed.
The boat got destroyed on the rocks.
Okay, okay.
You know, the boat had sat there for hours banging on those rocks in the wind. And, that's how the boat got destroyed. Now, the boat didn't get destroyed. He was in wide open water when he speared a wave. He jumped one and went through one.
Uh-huh.
And when he did, he either lost control or it immediately flew the passenger out. But his motor would not start back up.
Oh.
And he gets up on the front to try to turn the troll motor around to go back to him, and then he gets thrown out. Now, and after that, he couldn't get back in his boat. Now, could he have had a concussion or something, too?
Sure.
Yeah, he could have. Who knows? He's not speaking yet.
Right.
I mean, to the press-wise.
Sure.
He's gonna be fine.
Sure.
But now he was in... You know, it was 30 in the 30s down there on
Okeechobee.
And so it was really, really cold. The water temperature dropped. And he was in the water for, I want to say, almost 6 or 7 hours.
Wow.
Oh. So he had bad hypothermia, and sure, he knows he had concussion or whatever, but yeah, bad deal all the way around. Like I said, there's going to be a lot of finger pointing.
Sure.
I've already seen, we ought to ban these inflatable life jackets. Well, guess what? He wasn't wearing an inflatable life jacket. Uh-huh. He was wearing a full life jacket.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You know, everybody jumps to conclusions when they don't know the whole story yet.
Sure.
Nobody knows the whole story yet. I mean, I don't. I know a little bit more than probably what everybody else does. But the whole story will be out in the next few days.
Right. Well, since that is, you know, a horrible, something that's horrible that's happened, Rex, could you give, you know, and before long, there's going to be a lot of guys back out on the water here. You know, it'll be spring before we know it. You know, we all know Gunnersville can get rough and some of these other places, but can you give some advice, you know, if you're out there on some really, really rough water, how you need, what you need to do to keep yourself as safe as possible?
Well, as far as running, I mean, number one thing is you usually have some warning when bad weather's coming.
Right.
And, you know, and Gunnersville is one that when you get a 20-mile-an-hour wind, 15's not too bad. If you get a 20-mile-an-hour wind, you can get some 3-foot, even some 4-foot rollers on Gunnersville.
Uh-huh.
and that's dangerous. Anything over 3 feet's dangerous.
Right.
And especially if you're not in a quality near boat, you can get capsized really quick in three foot waves.
Okay.
And as far, you got to have some common sense. You don't run over them. You run them side to side and zigzag through them.
Okay.
If you run over them, you're going to spear one, and your motor could die instantly. You know, once it gets submerged,
right,
your bilge pumps might not work, and you're going down.
Right.
And it is. It's a diagonal. Pull up YouTube on how to run rough water, but it's hard to explain. But,
sure.
I mean, you zigzag the lake going back and forth. You don't run straight over.
Right. Kind of like if you're riding a horse and you're going up the side of a mountain, you just switch back, you know.
That's right.
Kind of the same principle, I guess. So.
Correct.
Okay. Hey, Rex, tell us, have you been on the water? You know, what's, have you caught any? What's going on?
Like I said, I got sick on Christmas Eve, and yeah, I have not been out but the one time that next Saturday before New Year's, and that was a stupid thing that I did. that set my sickness back about 3 days.
Right, sure.
So, but no, I haven't been. I'll start going as soon as this next little cold snap comes through.
Right,
and gets out of here. I'm done booked up for March, and already got some February trips, so it's fixing to get busy.
I got you. If somebody is going, wanting to fish here in the next, you know, few days, week, whatever, you know, if you're at Smith, it may be different than what you fish at Gunnersville, but could you just throw out a couple of ideas, you know, this time of the year, what you need to be throwing?
The water temp's going to be so cold in the next few days. I just got to go deep with a little seggy head, a little quarter-ounce seggy head finesse worms, 25, 40-foot deep, or spoons or crankbaits, and other than that, it's potluck.
So, in other words, it's not the best time of the, maybe the best time of the year.
Well, it's not, if you stick with those, you're going to catch a lot of fish. I mean, the fish are biting. I mean, they've been catching them like crazy.
Okay.
Fish are biting, but you got to go a little deeper because that surface temp, especially after this little bit of weather we're going to get Friday and Saturday, surface temp's going to be really, really cold, and it's going to push those fish down really deep.
Exactly. And they're going to try to locate themselves in the warmest water I guess they can find.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good deal. All right, Rex. Hey, man, I know it's about that time for you to go do your normal thing on Thursday night or Thursday afternoon. So, you know, maybe you can bowl a 300 today and all would be good.
That ain't happening, but I'll go try.
I got you, Rex. Hey, Rex, thanks for joining us, man. We really appreciate it.
All right.
Talk to you soon. Hey, there's our good buddy, Mr. Rex Chambers, giving us a little report on some fishing and maybe how to keep yourself safe if you're out there in rough waters. So just be careful. It's very dangerous, or it can be. It's 5:41. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Sports Talk Live 95.5.
Hey, guys, let's face it. We all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome.
Scissors Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant. 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Coleman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting-edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Coleman area and most Coleman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors-only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network.
From the ARN News Center, I'm Derek Scudder. Walmart is closing many Sam's Club locations around the country, and the Irondale location is one of those affected. A post on the City of Irondale's Facebook page posted a photo of a communication reportedly from Sam's Club notifying the city that 136 employees at that location would be impacted and that the entire facility will close to the public January 26th. A knife fight this morning between two inmates has sparked a lockdown of the Mobile County Metro Jail. Both inmates suffered multiple stab wounds and were transported to area hospitals. Gadsden police have arrested a 5th teenager in the murder of 18-year-old Aaron Huff of Gadsden. Huff was a passenger in a car when he was shot and taken to a hospital by the driver. 17-year-old Tyler Michael Abbott of Hansville, 16-year-old Blake Whitworth of Gadsden, 17-year-old Jesse Altman of Rainbow City, 18-year-old Broderick Pearson of Gadsden, and 17-year-old Lonterry Orlando Harrison of Gadsden, all charged with one count of capital murder. This is the Alabama Radio Network. The Jefferson County Department of Health and the Birmingham area medical community made a special announcement to urge residents with minor flu or flu-like symptoms to refrain from going to hospital emergency departments to avoid overstressing the community's resources. Dr. Bernard Kamens of UAB says the flu season started early this year.
Currently, we're actually experiencing a peak that's earlier than usual. From my experience, the usual time where our flu season peaks in the Birmingham area is probably around the end of January, but it came early this year. It started peaking probably around Christmas time or right after that.
Dr. Mark Wilson of the Jefferson County Health Department says that hospitals and urgent care facilities are overflowing.
The system is getting strained. There are other steps that can be taken to help expand that out in terms of just patient care capacity.
Health officials stress this is not a pandemic flu, but a major seasonal flu situation. I'm Derek Scudder, ARN News.
Go back to school. Okay, I got it.
It's easy to take your world for granted. Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if everything familiar becomes anything but? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit, make a plan, be informed today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
In money news, Walmart is closing dozens of its Sam's Club locations across the nation, with some closing immediately. 63 Sam's Club stores are closing, and thousands of workers are losing their jobs. Some employees showing up for work today were not informed their store was closing. The store closures occurred the same day the company announced it was raising starting hourly wages for Walmart employees to $11, expanding employee benefits, and offering workers bonuses of up to $1,000. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin says the government is working hard to ensure that taxpayers start seeing tax cuts as soon as possible. Mnuchin noted that the IRS is making strides in simplifying tax forms and making them more user-friendly. In an historic move, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services is announcing that states may impose work requirements for some to qualify for benefits. The initiative allows states to require non-disabled working-age persons to seek employment before continuing health benefits. I'm Derek Scudder, ARN News.
All right, 5:48 and a half, and running right. Before you go through the county tournament sure. Here, I got one little thing.
Oh, no.
Being that this is our last show, we yep. want to treat our listeners right, and we're going to give you we're going to give you a chance to win $1,000 if you call us before 5:49 and answer a question.
Wow.
You got 3 seconds. 3 seconds. Two,
seconds.
One. Time is up. Oh, you all had you your chance. So let's move on to the county tournament now.
All you can do is give
right.
All you can do is give an opportunity.
They had a chance to win $1,000.
Right. Only you had it pre-programmed in your phone.
That's right.
All right. Hey, Jason, you know, as a community service, it's that time of the year, varsity basketball season. It's time for the county tournament, played down at Wallace every year. This is the 26th year that the tournament has been played at Wallace. So 26 years, it starts January the 20th. That's on a Saturday, and it will conclude the following Saturday, January the 27th. On those that first day, games start at 1 o'clock, and then the other days, either during the week, it's a 4 o'clock or a 5 o'clock start, and then on the 27th, the day of the finals, that will also be a 1 o'clock start. So please come down. You know, support your local teams, $5 admission, great place. And I mean a truly great place to sit and watch a basketball game. No hard bleachers, nobody's knees in your back, nobody's kids climbing over you that are not yours. You know, no Cokes and popcorn spilled on you or anything like that. So you can come and truly enjoy a good ball game.
I remember the old days when the county tournaments were held
That's
at
right.
the county gyms.
You better believe it. It's like sardines in a can.
Man.
It's awful. Exactly right. All right, Jason, I'll go through these brackets real quick, and by that time, it'll be time for us to get out of here. So first, with the with the ninth grade boys, the number one seed, top seed is Fairview. Number two is West Point. Number three is Vinemont. Number four is Holly Pond. And number five is Good Hope. Number six, we don't have six. That's all the teams that we have. Again, ninth grade boys, every team doesn't have a team. Fairview, number one. West Point, number two. Vinemont, number three. Holly Pond, four. Good Hope, five. Okay, junior varsity girls. Number one, top seed, Cold Springs. Number two, Fairview. Number three, West Point. Four, Hanceville. Five, Good Hope. Six, Holly Pond. That's JV girls. Junior varsity boys, top seed, Holly Pond. Number two, West Point. Number three, Fairview. Number four, Hanceville. Number five, Vinemont. Number six, Good Hope. Number seven, Cold Springs. Again, that is junior varsity boys division. In the varsity girls division, top seed, Fairview. Number two, West Point. Three, Cold Springs. Four, Hansville. Five, Good Hope. Six, Holly Pond. Seven, Vimont. Again, that's Varsity Girls Division. Varsity Boys, number one, top seed, Holly Pond. Number two, West Point. Number three is Good Hope. Number four is Fairview. Number five, Hansville. Number six, Cold Springs. And number seven is Vimont. Again, Jason, that is the Varsity Boys bracket. So, again, county tournament time starts January the 20th. On that day, it starts at 1 o'clock. I believe there are six games that day, a full day of activities. The finals conclude the 27th. One other note that I will mention is on Thursday, I believe it is before the 6:15 varsity girls game. That is when they recognize all county football. So Thursday night is all county football recognition. So again, Cumberland County Tournament, January 20th through 27th, Wallace State Community College.
And that is, as you said, Ronnie, the place to watch a ball game.
No question.
And if you figure it up, say that day you start at 1 o'clock and you get six games, $5 to get in?
$5 admission.
So you're less than $1 a game.
That's exactly right. Less than $1 a game, and where are you going to go?
That's right.
You know, getting entertainment cheaper than that.
Speaking of entertainment and cost, I have heard and thankfully my son and my daughter both are grown now and I don't have to do this, but that these tribal basketball teams and tribal baseball teams, that the admission to these games are getting ridiculous.
Really?
To
the tribal ball stuff?
Yeah, like $6 and $7 a pop to get in. So you take a family of four in there and you're looking at $28. And actually, some of the baseball games, come to think of it, this past year were $10 to get in.
Wow. So,
that does get you in all day, but you're still
$10 out. Less in your wallet. So
you can go to a high school county tournament for $5.
That's right. And if you go on the 27th, that'll be five games, but that'll be all your finals. So again, that's $5 and you get to see, you know, all the finals starting again at 1 o'clock. So both Saturdays are 1 o'clock starts. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday are 5 o'clock starts. Wednesday is a 4 o'clock start because there are four games on Wednesday, and the other days of the week there's three games. So that is a rundown kind of the tournament.
All right, as it stands.
Yep.
Ronnie, this is our last show. We've got about 5.5 minutes thinking back, what all has happened this year, just a few highlights, and I know I'm not going to remember, so you help me here. We have seen, of course, Alabama just win the national championship.
Absolutely.
Donald Trump was elected as president, like it or not. Hillary Clinton was defeated.
Auburn won the Iron Bowl.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Auburn
broke the streak, won the Iron Bowl.
I don't think it'll ever happen again. That a team beats the two teams that are in the national championship game.
Beat them 2 out of 3 weeks.
That's right. I don't think that'll ever occur again.
Auburn
and Florida won. Florida University won the national championship.
That's right. Central Florida.
Auburn is now 13-1 in basketball.
That's exactly right. We don't know how that's all going to play out. They may have to forfeit them all.
we
don't know with the situation with the FBI. But I've watched them play a little bit, Jason, and let me tell you, they get after it. I mean, they lost a couple of kids that were involved in that FBI that were outstanding players. A big post guy, and his name has left me, from Birmingham with Spain Park. You're going to see him in NBA. But you're right. Auburn is rolling. Last I heard, they was ranked 22nd in the country. Alabama, I think, is about 10-4 right now. A little bit up and down, but that's kind of to be expected because there's a lot of nights they're starting four true freshmen.
I don't know that this is fact, but somebody told me that Auburn beat two ranked teams for the first time, I think, since 1980-something.
Wow.
I mean, two in a row for the first time since 1980-something.
kind of lets you know how the program's been.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
that just seems hard to believe.
I know.
That
I agree.
Be a fact.
But yeah, it'll be a sad fact. Bad. But
yeah,
that Alabama may not be far behind in that category as well. You know.
Oh, another one. We saw UAB football come back to life.
Absolutely.
And come back with a vengeance.
That's right.
You know, y'all predicted that 3 years ago, and everyone was like, "Yeah,
that's
you
right."
Know. But sure enough, here it is.
Yeah, went 6-6 regular season. Went to a bowl game. Now they got smoked in their bowl game.
I think I heard on the news that they're getting a new stadium out of it too.
You know, I heard something that Jefferson County had agreed to put up so many million. I don't remember the number, but the city of Birmingham had not committed on anything. That's kind of what I had heard.
Because they got plenty of money.
Yeah, of course they do.
Yeah.
So, but that would be great for UAB. They need their own facility.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Legion Field.
Legion Field is an embarrassment.
Yeah,
man.
I mean, it's, you know, it had its glory days. So many memories there. You know, the first SEC championship game was there between Alabama and Florida.
Can you imagine playing the SEC championship at Legion Field now?
Oh, my gosh. I'm afraid it'd fall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And if it didn't fall, you'd probably be mowed going in or out of the
or both.
Yeah. Hey, and one more thing.
Yeah.
Atlanta has the Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
That's right. What about that?
$1.5 billion.
Chicken feed.
And it has a leaking roof.
They need to do it like these schools around here. It's got the flat roofs. Get up and put tar.
Yeah,
remember
the
big tar thing they used to get
I
that?
I remember that, doing that a lot
that
when
tar.
I was in school.
Don't you know that's good for your lungs?
Oh, yeah.
You smell that all day long and heating that tar up and putting it on the roof.
$1.5 billion sounds like a lot of money.
And it is.
It is a lot of money. But the owner and CEO of Amazon could buy about 70 of them.
Could he afford to get that roof fixed?
He might could. I think he is now.
I wonder if you could order your roofing shingles from Amazon. Ship them right in.
He is now the richest person in the world, and he has eclipsed $100 billion now. So,
And then Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett is second at 93, I think, followed by Bill Gates,
and then followed by Jason Spiegel.
Yeah, followed by Jason Spiegel back there at about 78 cents. All right, time to say goodbye, and again, congratulations to all you Alabama fans, but until we talk again, I'm going to leave you with a big war eagle.
Oh, and I'll leave you with a great big road tide, and thank you, Jay.
Yeah, thanks for joining us,
thank
folks.
Y'all.
We're gone until you hear us again.
Be safe.